The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Wake up! Let's go, baby. This is the morning shift. Sports Radio 929 The Game. I'm still working on it. I don't like it yet. I'm going to practice in my mirror. I'm just gonna practice some, maybe with my little mic, my little yellow tech that we use for Falcons.
Why do you need a real mic? Just use it.
Because I want to hear what they sound like.
Oh, you're talking about like you're actually gonna record yourself?
Yeah. Why not?
That's, you gotta. That's a little bit.
Well, if you want to get better, that's what you have to do. I mean, that's. I mean,
but I don't know. I guess you can't.
I want to fine tune it.
I don't know. Just put Amy in the background. Say, how does this sound?
No, because she's too nice about that kind of stuff. She's like, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I like that. And then she'll be like, well, I like that one better than that one. But she won't say one of them sucks. And that's what I need.
And it's not like you can call in reserves and be like, hey, can you listen to this?
No, I'm my biggest critic, believe it or not. Everybody thinks I'm one thing, but I'm the biggest critic of myself. Hey, we went to Cancun last night. Went to have it was taco night.
Okay,
and
that's usually what they serve at places called Cancun.
No, I mean, it was taco night. Like, that's a special. So you get, it's like a dollar taco.
Monday?
Yeah.
No Taco Tuesday?
That's so cliche. What is it, LeBron running it? I mean, come on.
I guess so.
Taco Tuesday. What is it? Remember when LeBron did that? But Tavo, the bartender, comes over, and he's been there for years, and he goes, hey, I went to the Falcons game Sunday. And I go, okay, cool. He's like, man, it was a lot of fun. You know, everybody was, you know, scoring. He's like, and he shows me a picture of his son in a Josh Allen jersey. And I go, okay. And he goes, no, I got him a Falcons jersey. I go, what jersey did you get? And he said, well, Bijan was the one they had. He said 7 is what he said. He didn't say Bijan. He said 7 was the one that they had in his size. I go, well, that's the perfect jersey. That's like, that's my favorite guy on the team right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you can go wrong with that. Probably going to end up being the longest tenured in
possibly.
A lot of different aspects.
Well, he goes, well, I kind of wanted a London one for him. He's like, but they didn't have his size, so we got
go wrong there.
So he goes, so I got him a Bijan one. He's like, man, he's like, he's good. I was like, yeah.
Breaking news.
I was like, so's Drake. I was like, so's London. I was like, believe it or not. But he was like, dude, their offense is phenomenal. What's wrong with their defense?
Yeah. I know.
Is that the first game he had been to?
I think it was the first game he'd been to this year. Okay. I was like, well, you know, we're going to work. Maybe they're working on that, maybe.
Rough way to break in on it.
I
still haven't wrapped my mind. I know we're a couple days out. I still have not wrapped my mind around what we saw defensively out of the Atlanta Falcons. And I know that there's probably people listening right now that feel exactly the same way, that still don't feel like you've got any answers in your head after what we saw. And it just, I don't know, man. I feel like I got cheated on, because you felt like after the bye week that things were changing so much defensively. And so I was looking back this morning through free agents to be and restricted free agents and everything else. And like, I just have such a sour taste in my mouth about every single one of the guys on defense right now. I'm looking back at it going, nope, 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 don't pay him too much.
Well,
you never want to do that. It's knee jerk reactions.
It's funny, before we get to, you know, some of the stuff that was said yesterday, it's funny that that's mentioned, because Terry Fontenot is getting a ton of heat. And before, you know, decisions have been made, draft picks. And you kind of go through all of it, and I was listening to Dukes and Bell yesterday, and obviously, you know, Mike Bell's very critical if you follow him on social media, and he wants to clean house, which that's Mike. He wants to clean house every week, every team he follows. But, it's the thing that he mentioned is, and I think Carl brought it up, he's like, well, it's hard to blame Terry because you went and got Matthew Judon. How are you to know that Matthew Judon would fall off a freaking cliff and be and what's essentially a bust because you traded a third-round pick for? How would you know that Justin Simmons, who seemingly had his – waited his – he purposely waited – to pick his situation of where he wanted to play. And how would you know that Justin, because I think I don't think Justin Simmons, he had a play here or there, But as a whole, I didn't think Justin Simmons played well at all.
Well, I think the interesting part of it is, I think when you look at Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons, don't you think there's different reasons for each of them not playing well at certain times this year? Like, I look at Judon, and there was just – I don't know if I don't ever want to call for lack of effort, so I'm not going to say that. But, like, he was comfortable in being very assertive off the edge. Like, he just wasn't really, you know, coming off the ball and putting hands in chest and grinding the legs. And at the same time, Justin Simmons, and I thought Sunday was a prime example of that, Justin Simmons looked like it was a communication error. Like, he was kind of lost in schematically what he was supposed to be doing and, you know, some of the things being asked to him. So, I don't know. Like, I'm with you. There's a number of guys, obviously, up and down this roster that, you know, you feel like were added last year and that you felt good about that just for whatever reason didn't pan out and, you know, left yourself kind of asking questions about what their future is.
Yeah, the defense left a lot of people scratching their heads after their performance on Sunday. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris spoke to the media yesterday. He talked about if he thinks Jimmy Lake will return as the DC.
We got to evaluate all of our coaches. We got to evaluate all of our players. We got to evaluate everything that we do from a whole program standpoint, and we will do those things. That's what starts today, Daniel. That's when we'll get out there and get those things going. We'll have a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of everything to evaluate everything. We'll have a chance to get back together and really talk about these things, and that's the process that happens now. You know, there'll never be anything that's the same in the National Football League, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whatever the case may be, since I've been here. So since I've been lucky enough to be in the league, that's just how it is. We'll do those things now.
Hey, you could tell listening, Bo and I, you listened to the presser this morning, and you could tell kind of listening to that presser that there was – I don't want to say a sense of frustration, but a sense of expectation that maybe you'd get more out of Raheem yesterday. At least that's the sense I got from listening to it. But obviously, I think he treated it much like a Monday after a game press conference, which it was. And I think most of the people asking questions, a state of the franchise before you go on this long hiatus conversation, which it actually was as well. So it was funny kind of listening to the back and forth. Raheem's like, we didn't play well enough. Playoffs, it stinks. Got to do like Jimmy Lake question, you know, questions about Kirk Cousins, questions about Michael Penix and all this other stuff moving forward. And Raheem very much is like, yeah, we got to do better in all facets.
Wow. I'm not expecting to have those answers. I mean, the game was Sunday, right? Yesterday. It's going to take time. So if people aren't happy with those kind of answers, I don't really know what to do. Like any other, take time to evaluate what you want to do moving forward.
Well, I'd be angry if he had the answers yesterday. If he had those answers yesterday, I'd be completely angry with the fact that, wait, well, if you had the answers, why didn't you use them yet? I mean, you just figured it out overnight? That's what I would say. I thought that some of what those questions were really, and he even mentioned at one point, well, you know, that's more of a Terry question on Thursday.
Yeah.
And he's right. The thing that I would say is, you know, and I would ask the question, and I actually might text a couple people in the organization, why is Terry and Raheem not together on Thursday? If it's a collaborative effort, which I wholeheartedly believe it is, and from everything I've been around with the team and when I'm with them, that it is, why not put them together? Why not let them two sit together and do everything together and talk about, you know, that kind of stuff? But maybe they don't want that. Maybe they want to split it up, and then they'll obviously do one together. Maybe I think it's before the draft is the next time, or maybe the first time this offseason we'll have them together as far as a plan. Or maybe they'll speak at the combine, but then at the draft they talk together. And maybe when there's a free agent signing or two, they'll talk together about everything. But that's kind of to me, Raheem's not going to have some of these questions. Like, there's a lot of obvious questions like, well, what do you got to do better? Well, hell, I don't know. Play better defense. You know, I still come back to the thing that you just said about, well, Justin Simmons and didn't look comfortable. Well, that's unacceptable for a guy that's been in the league and an all-pro multiple times. To me, how is a guy of that caliber, as far as just his football IQ, uncomfortable with what you're doing in week 18 in the defense? And the problem for me is I saw A.J. Terrell look like he was uncomfortable a couple of times on Sunday, who another all-pro, and I thought played at an all-pro level. So where is that miscommunication? Where's the root of that?
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part of that possible answer is it's – look at the opponent, right? You're not getting diced up by a team that's averaging 40 points a game. This is not looking uncomfortable against, you know, the Detroit Lions this year or, you know, some team with just crazy passing schematics. This is looking uncomfortable against a team that was averaging 18 points a game and was one of the worst offenses in the NFL. So that's kind of another angle to look at it. But I'm with you guys. I didn't expect any answers yesterday. I was a little bit floored kind of cruising the socials at how many people did expect more answers yesterday. But Raheem even mentioned it himself. When you listen back, he said, you know, kind of cooled off a little bit since yesterday. You were there for it. We played it on the postgame show, Bo. He was as frustrated in his conversation with Dave Archer as I heard him all season talking about the performance of the defense.
When Arch asked him about the defense performance, I expected him to say, look, sign up to our caliber, our standard, our ethos, whatever the hell verbiage you want to use. And when he said the word bad, my jaw kind of dropped a little bit. I was like, I said, oh, blank, he went there.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing.
When I heard that, I'm not going to sit here and predict the future, but when I heard
that's not good.
Well, it's not good for one person.
Yes.
And he is the defensive coordinator, and I said, well, he gone. That's kind of what I thought. And I hate it. I hate the firing thing. I'm not a fan of Tiff. I know it's extra close to you because your dad, you grew up with your dad in the business of, you know.
Yeah, when you're bad, we moved every 4 years.
Yeah. And that's the business you choose.
Yes.
But it's also still.
And I laugh tongue in cheek there, but yes, it's not fun.
You know, there's two schools of thought. The fan looks at it. I don't care. They got, you know, those are guaranteed contracts. They get their money and that's easy and that's great. But then you look at the human element side. Well, yes, but also, you know, you have to go home every 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years, like you said, and tell your wife and your kids, hey, you got to get new friends because daddy didn't do good enough at his work or daddy's players didn't do good enough.
Right.
He didn't have good, and that sucks. And look, fans don't care about that.
No, they don't.
Which I understand. But that's why, you know, you be around that and you're a little bit. If you don't perform, then you get what you get. And Jimmy Lake's defense for a majority of the year didn't perform. And then when you look back, there are reports, you know, Ian Rapoport reported that Raheem stepped in. That's the nature of the business. You have to perform or you're gone.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I cracked up yesterday. I was kind of cracking myself. I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday, and they do such a good job. I always love getting Randy's takes because, like me, he's been in the locker room. He did it at a much higher level. And so, you know, I'm listening to them yesterday. It always cracks me up because I think sometimes on this radio station and the media in general gets a bad rap of all kind of following talking points. And it just, like, the four shows on the station, 5, including Hometown Tech, couldn't be different. Like, couldn't be more different. Like, Randy's sitting there going, I don't ever call for nobody's job. And he's like, yeah, I'm not in that business either. But in the end of the day, like you said, it's a product where you have to go out and perform. And if you're not doing that throughout all 17 games, and there's going to be questions asked.
Well, the two shows sandwiched around then was firing everybody.
I know, and that's what I was laughing. I'm laughing listening to Andy and Randy yesterday going, Randy sees it just like me, I guess, but it's never an easy process either way on either side.
We'll hear more from Coach Morris. We'll also hear from quarterback Michael Penix Jr. What does he predict for the Falcons' future? That's on the other side when we come back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on The Morning Shift, we heard from Falcons coach Raheem Morris. He had a press conference yesterday. Some of the issues that we saw play out on Sunday for this team, and people tried to their best to try to get some answers as to what to expect from maybe coaching changes to the staff in the future. We also heard from quarterback Michael Penix, and he had some high expectations for this Falcons offense next season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're the best. You know, player for player, I feel like we're the best out there. We just got to go do it, you know, and it's going to start with this offseason. We got to attack it the right way. You know, I'm going to make sure I get time with the guys this offseason, you know, try to find a time to get all us together at some point, as well as, you know, if I'm in Cali or somewhere where those guys are, you know, just working with them. Like, it started this offseason, but we special, man.
He said, so do you think this Falcons offense, if they are healthy, can be one of the best offenses in the league next year?
Well, they're certainly going to have a lot of continuity, right, it seems like. And with all apologies to Zach Robinson, I might be wrong, but it doesn't seem like he's getting a ton of head coaching interest that we talked about when he was hired last year, that he's the kind of guy that comes in and gets a one and done if this offense does explode. And it did at times. But I think that when you look at the offensive side of the ball, is going to have to carry the banner next year. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. When you look at the guys, you know, that you have under contract, the guys you have returning, the elite playmakers that you have, all, I'll be curious to see what Michael Penix's offseason looks like. Because obviously, as a starting quarterback, you're always kind of tasked with putting things together. And you've always heard stories about, you know, Matt Stafford, whoever else, leading these kind of, you know, California getaways, or, hey, let's meet in South Florida. I know Matt Ryan did that a couple times. You know, for Michael Penix, he doesn't really have, you know, he doesn't really have the background of understanding that. So Drake London in his ear, possibly some of these other guys saying, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. But this needs to be, unfortunately for him, a very short offseason for Michael Penix. It needs to be a couple of weeks, go get away from it, and then let's get locked back in by the time, you know, kind of February rolls around. And let's go ahead and start getting out ahead of this thing. But it's definitely a big one for them, and they've got every opportunity in the world to be great.
Well, you want to talk about, are they one of the best? Well, they finished fifth in passing off, 139 yards a game, 10th in rushing at 130 a game. And obviously, I'm not doing it to a T. 13th in scoring with 0.1 under 23 points. They scored about 23 points a game, and they were 6 in yards per game, right at 370. So, other than one category, which was scoring, they were a top 10 offense. And I think you can look back at the whatever you want to call it, but the, you know, the Kirk Cousins drop off and that 3 or 4 game stretch, and what that did was that only cost you your playoffs. It cost you having a top all year. And among other things. So you kind of look at the totality of the season, and it was kind of what we've seen the Falcons be built on the last 15 years, which is, other than 2017, which is, and the Arthur Smith years, which is a high-scoring, high-octane offense on all levels, and the defense, it's, you're just looking for them to make a play here or a play there to win the game.
Yeah.
So everything Michael Penix, look, he was given a cliched answer that you want a quarterback, a leader of your offense, to say, I think we're the best, blah, blah, blah. But there's numbers to back up the fact that they could be a top 5 offense next year, at least top 10 overall in every category that kind of matters. But the problem for me is the one that matters the most. You can talk, when you go to defense, you can talk about how many yards you give up a game, all that. None of that matters to me. Points per game is where it really matters. And that's where you fell short this year. And that's where you were, I think you finished like 25th maybe, or 24th in points per game allowed, and you weren't that good. You were 13th in points per game. Only scoring 23 points a game when your defense is giving up over 24 is going to lose you games.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You and I both said it a number of times last year. You get frustrated with how many times Arthur Smith's offenses have scored 30 points. Like, it was not a lot. And I can't remember the exact number in his 3-year tenure, but I think he had like 3 or 4 maybe in his first year, and then it completely fell off a cliff to the point they weren't getting it up. It was almost like DBs getting interceptions here. It was like so few and far between when you're able to put up over 30. And yet it feels like that's kind of what the goal will be next year, right? It feels like the opportunities are ahead of yourself. I'll be curious to see, obviously, what they do with Kyle Pitts and kind of how he fits in that role, everything else about that. And look, you and I, well, I'm sure we'll do like we did last year. We'll go back and, you know, start to watch some of the games this year. But as soon as you started talking about that and the Kirk Cousins and the drop-off, I started going all the way back to Week 1, and I thought to myself, man, after Week 1 against the Steelers, I remember thinking, I hope that this doesn't come down to one game at the end of the season. And that one's still tough to swallow all the way back in Week 1, because Week 1 is eventually what Kirk Cousins and this offense ended up being in the lull.
Yeah.
It's what they ended up being. Week 2 came around, and you were like, oh, okay, good, that's not what they are. But then in the end, that's what they ended up being.
5 times you scored 30-plus points this season. Now, you want to say the Giants game you had a couple
that,
of defensive touchdowns.
That has to
touchdowns.
Be more than Arthur Smith's last 2 years here combined.
But let's just say, take the Giants game away where you had 2 defensive touchdowns.
Sure.
Still had 4 games where offensively you scored 30-plus points. I would have to go back and look, but I'm not sure if you had 40, 30-plus points in his entire 3-year tenure.
I would say you're right at it. I would say you're probably right at it. I think maybe 2 in year 1. And then I don't know. Yeah, you might be right. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Definitely not from last year, and probably maybe one the year before. Maybe one. So frustrating to watch for sure.
Well, if Michael Penix is right, maybe 30, 40 plus point games is possible in the future for this team, since he feels like they are going to be one of the best offenses in the NFL. He also got a lot of significant reps this season, so three starts. What's the value in that? Here's Penix.
I mean, it felt good to get my feet wet, you know, just being out there. You know, I definitely feel like it definitely showed me the speed of the game, you know, in game time situations. I always say games is easier than practice. I feel like you practice against your defense all the time, so they know a lot of your tendencies in the game. I feel like the windows are much bigger, you know, but to know that in college and then get to the NFL and see, okay, it's the same thing. You know, it's just the same game. You just got to execute and, you know, you got to prepare at a high level. And that's what I do each and every day, you know, so that I can play and be, play fast and be free. So, man, I learned a lot, you know, and it's only going to continue to get better, but it was good to have those three.
You feel like those reps are going to carry over into next year for him? And you talked about working out with guys in the offseason as well.
I don't see how they can't. I mean, it's comfortability, it's familiarity, it's timing, it's everything else. And when you're the guy going through the offseason, that's what it's for, and that's why it's so important. You know, for quarterbacks, receiving corps, everything else. I almost crack up listening to him because he sounds so cool, calm, and collected. But you know, from talking to people around him, what kind of competitor he is. I think, and Bo, you'd have to tell me. I think a couple of weeks ago, it was Arch had Bijan in the post game. And he was asking kind of about Penix, and Bijan's answer was, sometimes I look at him, I'm like, man, do you care? He's like, but then you realize he's just that kind of cool customer, like nothing bothers him, and he's not rattled by anything. So I love listening to him, man. It's the calmness in his voice that sort of projects, I think, that will probably project on his teammates.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that, because they got, I think the three-headed monster of this offense is now Penix, London, Bijan. And all three, to me, are extremely similar. And the nicest guy you can talk to and be around. But damn, if you want to meet him in an alley if a football is in one of their hands, because Bijan will just straight up destroy you. And you saw what Drake London did against New York when Pitts, you know, bobbles the ball. I mean, Drake London straight up fought a guy. I mean, he straight up fought a Giants player. Meanwhile, the tight end is standing over there, who all of it was his fault. He's standing over there watching like, oh, you guys stop that. And Drake's going ham, and you saw what Michael could do with the ball in his hand if he's got a move and how he can shake it off. I mean, they all three are just completely different on the football field than when you get them after. I mean, it's crazy, but I looked it up. In 2021, you scored 30-plus once. In 2022, you did it twice. In 2023, you did it?
Zero
times.
Yeah,
so three times. And so whatever you think about Zach Robinson, you want him fired or whatever, I'd say let's give him another chance, because it seems like they can put up points. And I think it's only going to get better with his second year and with Michael Penix's second year.
Solve third down, solve red zone, solve short yardage.
Yeah.
It's going to skyrocket.
When we come back here on the morning shift, the college football playoff, the championship game, we'll know who's going to be in it this week. We got the Cotton Bowl and the Capital One Orange Bowl Thursday, Friday action. We'll get you set next year on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The college football playoff continues on Friday, and Dukes and Bell will be breaking down all the action at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. So make sure to come down and join them Friday from 2 to 7 for a special college football preview show brought to you by Dos Equis, Go for Dose. It's all at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Friday. And so on Friday, that will be the matchup between Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl. But before that, Thursday, you got Notre Dame and Penn State. And I think these games will be good games if we...
I'm confused on what I think Notre Dame Penn State is going to be, because everything tells me that this game should be 13-10 or something like that, because you look at these two teams, they're very good defensively.
Yeah.
Both teams are very good up front on the defense. Notre Dame's a little bit undersized, but you saw them as an undersized front have no issues with Georgia's offensive line. In fact, Notre Dame in two college football playoff games is allowing 2.3 yards a carry, which is really, really kind of crazy to think, considering one of the teams they played is a team like Georgia, which has always been predominantly run heavy and able to have some man movers up front with their offensive line. I know that's not as good of a front as they've had in the past, but that part surprised me. But then you go look at the other side, because there's more. Penn State's coming in, having been able to run the ball against two pretty good run defenses, but then Genty, who many believe should have been the Heisman Trophy winner, many believe had a chance to break Barry Sanders as an all-time rushing record in a season. They held him to 104 yards, two fumbles, which turned out to be something around 3.5 yards a carry, which is way below, as you saw him in person, Tiff, way below what Ashton Genty has been as a player this year, especially on the ground.
Yeah, and I think that, look, he's been explosive. He's been all the above. I actually was a little bit shocked. Honestly, mostly Notre Dame, but a little bit Penn State as well at what the defensive speed. And I don't mean this as a shot at Penn State, and apologies to Mike Conte and all the Penn State fans that are listening, but it just seems like when you think of Penn State for the last, I don't know, let's call it, you think of kind of a Iowa-esque defense where it's kind of slow, slug along. Now, they've had great players, don't get me wrong. I mean, they've had the Parsons of the world, some of the middle linebackers they've definitely had that have been incredible players. I'm not trying to say that individually they haven't had great guys over the last 10 years or whatever. But it seems like historically when you think of Penn State, you don't think of, teams with speed having trouble. And Notre Dame's kind of the same way to me. I mean, Notre Dame, 12 years ago when they played Bama in the national title game, the BCS game, they couldn't do anything with the speed. And that's really where I think they've become head and shoulders above where they were under Brian Kelly. Defensive speed, it seems like, is at an all-time high, seemingly for both of these programs, and definitely for Notre Dame on offense, where they had a lot of success kind of break and contain a week ago.
I think when you talk about both of those teams and trying to stop them, obviously you look at the quarterback play. And so Drew Aller's coming off of one of his best performances of the season, right, in that last matchup. And then you have Riley Leonard, who's been really good at running the football. So I think it's just two different types of style play. Not saying Leonard can't throw it, but he's more of that running threat that we've been able to see. Second most rush yards by a QB in a season in Notre Dame history.
Yeah, in the regular season, I think he had like 750 or something, to your point, Tiff. And
831.
Okay, yeah. I think that's added on with the Georgia.
With the playoff, yeah, I think so.
He had 80 yards rushing against Georgia and 90 yards passing. He's susceptible to turn the ball over, though. He's thrown interceptions in three of his last five, and his season high in yardage through the air is only like 229.
Yeah.
But I think it's a phenomenal point, Tiff. And that's one of the things I was trying to tell Georgia fans is, like, the thing I would be afraid of was him running, and he did. They could not stop him running up the middle. I wonder if they try to attack Penn State's defense the same way because of that speed on the outside that Georgia also has, by the way.
Yeah, ding.
The Georgia is, and that's the thing that to your, what you were talking about, that edge speed that Notre Dame and Penn State seem to have.
Yeah.
The last time when Georgia tried to bounce in the very first play against Notre Dame and they got out there, yep, it reminded me immediately of the SEC Championship game last year when Alabama and Georgia played and both teams tried to run that outside stuff,
yep,
and neither one could get anything going out there.
Yeah, edge defense was at a premium, obviously, for those teams last year. No, I'm with you, man. It felt like after the first three plays, because I think you had a run to start and then I think you had a Gunnar Stockton run. And then maybe a pass on third because they lost like 4 yards. Yeah.
And I don't think he rolled him. I think he had to roll because of pressure.
It seemed like at that point that Bobo, just for a minute, like he got hit with a haymaker off the top in the first round when the bell rang. It was like, I did not see that coming. So I thought we'd have a little more success on this play.
The old, so we're going to have problems
blocking.
Yeah,
okay. So this is going to be an issue moving forward. Yeah. And I know that Georgia fans hated that. Everybody's calling for Mike Bobo's head and everything else after that game, but I just think that Notre Dame was flying around like their hair was on fire, man. I really do. I really do. And you got to give credit to – I think Marcus Freeman's gotten credit this week, but I think it's about in-game situations he's got credit for. But I think he deserves a lot of credit as well for how hard those guys have played for him. And it goes all the way back when we covered it last year, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago. Were we on air for that? I can't remember if I was doing this or not. When he gets introduced in the weight room after one of their workouts and they introduce him as the head coach and everything else.
No, we weren't on the air, but we have talked about it. Yeah. This is his third year.
But it just that's so important in college football nowadays to get those guys to play so hard and to be that family atmosphere, and he's done that extremely well.
Just to give you some stats here, Penn State's defense in the FBS this season, 7th in points per game and 5th in yards per game. And then when you look at Notre Dame's defense this year, 2nd in points per game. Of course, this is points allowed per game. And then what? The takeaways? 1st. That's going to be key in this bowl game.
Yeah, and that's
you know, and you mentioned the Riley Leonard turnovers.
Yeah, Riley Leonard turns the ball. Drew Aller has been prone to it at times as well. Both these quarterbacks kind of have their moments where they look lost at times. And that's why – but that to that point – we sat here Friday, and you're like, oh, the over-under, 48 for the Falcons, Panthers, no way, 27-10. And that's my point, is that its game will be 13-10 or 41-38. Because there won't it won't be, there's no way it's like 24-21 final, you know? There's no way.
Well, I completely agree with what you said about both these quarterbacks at times that have struggled. I think you said that about all four of the final four teams, that none of them, and really the entire college football playoff, you know, all 12 teams, none of them looked like they were bulletproof, specifically on offense and specifically at the quarterback position. You can't tell me that at times Quinn Ewers has not looked like he might get benched. I mean, he's had a couple of rough stretches.
Is that a product of these skill players and all these guys moving around so much that there's no, you know, used to you'd have guys play 3 years together. I mean, Danny Werfel had Riddell Anthony and Jacquez Green and Ike Hilliard, Falcons wide receiver coach, for like 4 years.
Yeah,
and they had all. I mean, Chris Doring is. We can throw him in there for some of that. They had all this chemistry. Hell, you got different receivers every year.
Yeah, it feels like it. Especially, and I think the receiver position more so than any. It feels like right.
Like
the receiver position in college football. We talk about quarterbacks moving around, and that happens. But it seems like the receivers are moving around trying to find the quarterbacks more so than I ever thought there would be in college football right now. So it's kind of crazy to watch. I think it's a good point.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to these matchups. And when you look at Friday, Ohio State and Texas just even further, since you brought up Quinn Ewers, 322 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. That was in the quarterfinals. But you have to wonder if maybe we didn't see Arch Manning in that game, so maybe they try to dial up something with him.
Yeah, they're gonna be searching to try to really, really put points on the board because Ohio State can score. If the Ohio State we've seen the last 2 weeks – can score fast and often. I mean, they are on fire, and they've got many believe the best player in the country, who I guess Chip Kelly just realized was playing on their roster 2 weeks ago, and Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah. These are top defenses too, which is also, you know.
But look, Texas is big. They are big, and again, they're another team that kind of pushed Georgia. You know, talk about the Georgia thing. They pushed Georgia around in the SEC championship game a little bit. They shut
especially
them down
first half,
some
for sure.
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton
game plan coming in.
Well, Stockton changed it, right? But that one though is Texas has to slow this game down. They have to muddy it up. Like it's weird that we're talking about Texas that way, but Texas's offense isn't one to me that plays overly consistent. So their defense has to kind of throw a monkey wrench in that offense of Ohio State and kind of muddy the water for them and make it almost the type of game that we expect to see from Notre Dame, Penn State.
Yeah, I guess that would be the case. So Friday and then Thursday. So I know what a lot of people are going to be end up doing these next 2 days, and
especially with that snow coming in.
So
dude, we've already planning. I'm already got like some plans for the snow.
Yeah, snow plans.
Yeah, that's, man. If anybody's got a couple pounds of venison want to throw my way, I'd love it because I want to make some. I'm making chili.
Yeah,
chili
yeah.
is okay. It's my snow thing because
do you slow cook it?
How yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been wanting to try. I found this recipe and it's almost like a chili stew that you can smoke, and it is like this. It takes a whole bunch of stuff to do, but I like to, believe it or not, take a little Fireshire from the W sauce and cook my ground beef in, and then throw it and some stuff I use, and then throw it in all my stuff, and it gives an extra, a little bit extra spice.
Dylon has a either a recipe recommendation.
I do. I have a recipe recommendation when it comes to chili specifically, Bo. Are you a jalapeno and chili type of guy?
You don't strike me as someone that likes spices.
That was kind of a burn.
I mean, I don't.
A little bit disrespectful there, but
I don't know. I don't think you've ever broke bread with me. But
sit that Sprite spicy.
I don't like it coming. I don't like it coming like that. I like it coming from like the flavor in the chili.
Okay.
Like, I don't need in my chili. I don't want jalapenos and stuff. I want it more of coming from the flavor of the chili. Does that make?
That makes sense, and that's why I still think this is a good recommendation
Taste
for
the meat,
you.
Not the heat, Dylon.
That's a good slogan right there. You can put that on your next Squid Nation shirt. But Trader Joe's.
That's a Hank Hill slogan.
Oh, I didn't.
King of the Hill.
I did not know that.
Do you even know that show?
I know King of the Hill. Okay. I just didn't watch it.
I know because you're a youth.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in disrespect.
But real quick.
Please don't put Taste the Meat on your Squid Nation shirt. There's no way that I wouldn't survive that.
Trader Joe's has these amazing, amazing jalapenos. They're sweet and spicy. But they're like slightly more sweet than they are spicy. It's probably like 55 sweet, 45 spicy. If we're talking about percentages, I would try to put those in your chili. I would just try it. Get it from Trader Joe's. They're really good.
Okay. I don't even like jalapenos.
Bring some in for me.
Okay.
Some in for me.
Yeah. I got you.
I don't even like jalapenos, and that sounds good.
They're amazing. So. I could eat them like out the jar.
Hey, real quick before we get to break, I know we got like a minute. Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams, and Malachi Starks, along with Carson Beck, have all declared for the NFL draft from Georgia. Walker and Williams, that's about 12 sacks, about 20 tackles for loss. Leaving Malachi Starks obviously is just a stud. They also lost Damon Wilson, who's about 3 more sacks. He's going to the portal.
Edge rusher. Yeah, I used to work with Brandon Adams, follow along with him. I trust him. This was the first one I think that really kind of shocked Brandon Adams, or at least stunned him, and thought that that was a guy that they would be able to lean on in the near future. And he just said it. He was like, this is the first piece of really kind of shocking bad news for Georgia when it comes to this whole transfer portal thing.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's what some fans are saying about whether or not Michael Penix should have been starting for the Falcons a lot earlier. What does Coach Raheem Morris have to say about his decision? We'll discuss next when we return here on the morning shift at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.